I want to read Matthew's version of this same parable that Luke told. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. You see, Matthew told that story right in the middle of his version of the Sermon on the Mount. We have a lot of these in the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, most of you know they're called the Synoptic Gospels. They're similar in shape and form of the way they tell the story. John tells the same story, but tells it completely differently. A lot of people have trouble with the fact that Mark or Luke may put this parable ahead of the other one and tell it differently. But I have a feeling that Jesus, because he was talking to lots of different people, repeated himself from time to time. When I was with the children's home, I used to visit lots of churches, about 40 or 50 a year, and I got asked to speak a lot. And if you rode with me, you would hear the same sermon over and over again. Now, those people that heard it thought it was new. Same thing happens as we get a recollection of how Jesus taught. Jesus taught consistently throughout. He told the same stories throughout, but the different audiences, they were tweaked in slightly different ways to be understood differently. So in this particular instance, we've got Jesus telling the parable in the Galilean countryside, and he says, no one lights a lamp and puts it under a bed. Okay, I can think of a lot of places to put a lamp, but under my bed with an open flame is not the place I would think of first. So you have to think about how silly this seemed to the crowd that Jesus was talking to. Or put it under a jar. Now, when I say the word jar to you, many of you probably think mason jar and canned vegetables. Clear, yeah, that kind of works. You could make a light. No. Earthen clay, jar, covered. Put the lamp under there. If it doesn't extinguish itself from lack of oxygen, it will eventually crack the pot. It's not a good idea. Why would Jesus tell such an obvious parable? Well, I think that there's a couple of reasons. But before I go into those, I wanted to tell you guys a story from my childhood. When I was a kid, the faith community I was a part of, probably the worst thing that you could do in that faith community was allow alcohol to touch your lips. And so one night there was a visiting evangelist and got really worked up and preaching about the sin of drinking. And he said, if I had all the beer in the world, I'd just throw it in a river. He got himself worked up even more. He said, if I had all the wine in the world, I would throw it in the river. As sweat was pouring off his brow a few minutes later, he said, if I had all the whiskey in the world, I would throw it in the river. He brought it to a conclusion, and the song leader got up, said, turn in your hymns to number 364, shall we gather at the river? That has absolutely nothing to do with what we're going to talk about, but I read it this week and I thought it was funny. When my kids were all in grade school, my youngest one was in the first grade, we moved our family. We lived about 3/4 of a mile that way. And we moved ourselves about 1/2 mile closer to the church because we wanted a little bit bigger house. Now, we moved right over here on the street called Creighton Lane, and the house was bigger than the one we came from, but it was quite a stretch for us financially to buy this house. And because it was bigger, it had more rooms also than we had before. And this new house had a dining room and two living areas. Well, our old house didn't have a dining room, and it only had one living area. So we move into this house, and the way it was set up architecturally was you would come through the front door into the entry hall, and on your left was the giant dining room, and straight in front of you was the giant living room. Now, we didn't have any money to furnish the giant dining room and the giant living room. And so we decided that we didn't want to put ourselves into any more debt. We were going to be fiscally responsible. So we would wait till we could afford it in order to fill it with furniture. Now, we could have moped around and been embarrassed by the fact that we didn't have furniture in two rooms. The first two rooms in our home that you saw didn't have furniture. But we decided to look at it a little differently and frame it a little differently. That became the indoor wiffle ball arena. It became the Nerf football stadium. And it became the sock hockey arena. We had more fun in there with the kids during the year and a half that we didn't have any furniture in it. To the point that when we actually did buy furniture, the kids were extremely disappointed because the living room had changed so drastically and it wasn't filled with as much fun and laughter and as excitement as it had been. Instead, it became the place where there was the nice furniture that we didn't want them to get messy. It came something completely different. Each of us has one life to live. The majority of that life is spent doing things that we would consider mundane, right? They don't have a lot. We have to, we start out figuring out who we are as a person, right? We begin to develop as a human being. We develop our personality. We figure out what kind of person we want to be, what person we're comfortable being. Then we find friends. Then we find activities that we like to do. Then eventually we find maybe a career or two that we like to do. And we build ourselves, we begin building a life, right? You're always asked when you're a child, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to do when you grow up? And that's the way we spend a big chunk of our life, is defining what Richard Rohr calls the container of our life looks like. What it looks like from the outside. It's kind of like the house we had over here on Creighton. The outside was completely built and finished. But inside, there was just two large cavernous rooms that were empty. For us as individuals, we go through life building up our container. But for many of us, we don't spend a lot of time figuring out what goes in the container. What happens inside that container of life that we've made? Richard Rohr calls that the task within the task. We have to build the container or life doesn't work, right? We end up without and it just doesn't work. We have to have the container. But how many people spend their entire lives climbing that ladder of success only to discover when they get to the top they had their ladder against the wrong wall? We have to build our container for life because that's just part of being human. But we also have to take time, energy, and effort and intentionality on the task within the task, filling that container with that which is really life. Think of, and it's from that inner life, the energy, the life, the power, the light that comes from within is what produces the light that Jesus was talking about when he said that we are the lamp. We are the lamp. It's not what we wear on the inside, it's how it comes on the outside, it's how it comes from the inside. How many of us know, and I don't want a show of hands, a person who can literally suck the life out of a room as soon as they walk in? We all know them. We all know them. It has very little to do with what they actually say on the outside. Because I'm willing to bet you could take one of those people and give them a phone book to read and they would still suck the life out of a room. The reason that is because as individuals, we oftentimes experience a person more than we hear or listen to the person. We get that, you know, from 60s and 70s lingo, that vibe from somebody. But that's a real thing. It's a real energy of life that comes from within us. That's the light that draws people to Christ, is when we are full of that positive energy, that positive life that is Jesus. It comes out from us whether we speak or not. In the same way that that negative person can pull the life from a room, the lamp of Christ that is within us, that Christ wants us to be, can bring life to a room. But only can we do that if we spend time building that inner light. We have to take time out of our lives, out of those schedules and those mundane activities, and we have to build inward to spend time. And it seems so simple. I had a conversation with my old college roommate, and we were talking about back in college, we took literally Christ's mandate that we should have go in our closet and pray. And we had a stool in one of our closets, and we rigged up a light so that, because in the dorm room, which was, you know, 10 by 10 or whatever, then there was no space for privacy. So we made one, and we shared one closet so that we could have a prayer closet. And we prayed in our closet, in our little stool, in a dim light. And we were talking about how building that into our lives was such an important part of making us who we were our first year in college. And I said, yeah, you know what the crazy part of that is? The crazy part is that as hard as it was for us to do that then, it's equally hard today. Nothing changes. Because it's not something complicated or some wonderful map that we have to follow to get to the treasure God has laid out for us. It is a simple task of spending time with God in prayer, alone. Spending time with God in the scripture, spending time with God in the community of believers that builds that inner light, that begins those small embers that burst into flames and glow. And the only way that we can be the light that Christ wants us to be is if we are intentional about helping each other develop that inner grace, that inner power, that inner light that comes. Blessed be the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.